congregation may remain seated. In the absence of Pastor Tom being with us in body, he comes to us in spirit as he brings us his sermon message, which I'd like to share with you for our sermon today. The words of Pastor Tom. Greeting to you all in the precious blood and wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am Pastor Tom, the secretary of the Myanmar CLC, serving our Lord with you for the same testimony of Jesus Christ. I would like to convey that our CLCM congregation from Myanmar is sending their warmest greetings to you through me. First of all, I would like to praise God and to say thank you very much to Pastor Mark Gullerud, Board of Missions Secretary, for extending to me the invitation to participate at this event as a representative of Myanmar CLC. Besides, I wish to express my sincere thanks to missionary Pastor David Kanan also, because it is through him that a wonderful fellowship like this between us and the Lord is possible. The world we are living in is changing very fast, but we are not afraid to face it because our God is behind all of these things to make them accomplish his eternal purpose. The Bible tells us that God's ultimate purpose is to bring together, both in heaven and on earth, one in Christ. And he is going to accomplish it through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the message I have chosen is the gospel, so that we may encourage one another in the great power of it. In order that we can see it more clearly, I have made my topic the law and the gospel. First of all, I would like to look at the law. In the churches, we understand the term law means the Mosaic law, written in the Bible, generally the first five books of the Bible. The biblical law consists three kinds, such as the moral law, the social law, and the religious law, or the law concerning worship. The moral law has two parts, as man's duty toward God and toward his fellow men, as is outlined in Exodus chapter 20. The Bible clearly shows the function of the moral law as an expression of the character and will of God. It is the only standard of righteousness acceptable to him. Thus, the law has made man aware of his sinfulness, condemned him as a sinner, and thus removed any hope to be saved by his own righteousness. Secondly, the social law, and I'd like to point out here, Pastor Tom focuses on the Old Covenant law and speaks and references many passages from Exodus. The social law, to keep order in the families, in social communities, and also rules the functions of the state. In it, there are many rules regarding married life, children to honor and obey their parents, rules for servants and for slaves and for strangers. Crimes against any society, such as sexual violations, crimes against individuals, were punished according to the law and the standard of God's holiness. There were special orders regarding the army. There were laws of kindness, even to animals. The commandment of love, whether for friends or strangers, also was included. The defenseless ones, such as widows and orphans, were to be supported. Basic principles for worship were outlined in the first part of the Ten Commandments, and those detailed requirements of the worship were given regarding the building of the tabernacle, all in the standard of God's holiness, so that we find that the righteousness man tries for, he has not any strength in him because of his sinful nature. Therefore, Paul said in Romans 3, "The law stops every mouth, and all the world became guilty before God." What the law brings to man is only a curse. Paul, in giving himself as an example of man's hopeless condition in order to attain the favor of God by his own efforts, said, "I know that in me nothing good dwells, for the will is present with me, But how to perform what is good, I do not find. I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Therefore, this fact gives us a question. Why was the law given? What was the purpose of giving the law? God has good purpose in giving the law. First of all, the Bible says in Galatians 3, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. In Bible times, this was like a child kept by a guardian. He's speaking here of Israel in the Old Testament times. Until he has grown up, the law was keeping God's earthly people, Israel, until Christ would come. Secondly, the law shows man's terrible sin. The Bible says, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. From this, we can find that the law does exactly what an ultrasound scan does. Actually, it can show the disease in our body, such as of the liver, of the kidneys, but the ultrasound can give no necessary treatment. In this way, the function of the law, or the purpose of the giving of the law, is to enlarge men's sins so that we can admit our hopelessness and come to God, surrendering our life for his mercy so that we can be saved from that penalty of sin. Thirdly, the divine purpose of the law is to serve as a shadow of Jesus Christ, the perfect atonement for sin. The Bible says, Colossians 2, these are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. All of those animal sacrifices offered for sin in the Old Testament times, the tabernacle was a shadow of Christ, the gospel of him. The altar was a picture of the shadow of the cross. The Passover lamb, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the high priest, a picture of how Christ has made reconciliation between God and man and lives to make intercession for us. Now I'd like to go to the second part of my topic, the gospel. The simple term gospel means good news. In the Old Testament, when God told his people that he was going to release them from their captivity and bring them back to their homeland, that was good news. In the same way Jesus has come to save the people from the bondage to Satan, give them life. That was good news and is good news. The gospel of Jesus Christ promised by God said in the Old Testament, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Now it is the gospel, which says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. The gospel says Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scripture, 1 Corinthians 15. The Bible says thus what the gospel did to the law in Colossians 2. By his death on the cross, Christ has wiped out the handwriting of requirements against us that was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Once again, the gospel tells us what the blood of Christ has accomplished. Hebrews 9. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he has entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Therefore, as Ephesians says, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. Now I would like to sum the whole thing as follows. Number one, the law was given to show the helplessness of man to escape from God's righteous judgment. Number two, the gospel is the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, buried, and the resurrection of him. Number three, The blood of Jesus gave the full payment to redeem mankind from the eternal punishment in the lake of fire. Number four, by his death, Jesus Christ has taken that requirement of the law and nailed them to his cross. Number five, the gospel says that we are saved by the grace of God and become heirs of God's eternal kingdom. Number six, therefore, we are also saved from the bondage of fear to die. And number seven, at the same time, the gospel has made us witnesses of Jesus Christ. Now I would like to make my conclusion. Our country, Myanmar, has been changing in every way. And we hope the door to the gospel ministry will open wider in the future. Please pray for us that we could do more in the future. Even though we are living in the very difficult part of the globe, it is very encouraging to us that you live in the good part of it. Our churches will be waiting to hear good news from you. We will be praying so that God will bless each one of you, so that he will enable you to help our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world for the sake of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the living good God bless you all abundantly to see the fruits of your works and to the glory of God for the extension of his kingdom now and forever. Here's where Pastor Kam's sermon ends. And we're all reminded of what a wonderful blessing it is that this simple message of law and gospel continues on both in our midst and abroad. C.F.W. Walter wrote a whole book called Law and Gospel. And in it he said that the distinguishing between law and gospel is perhaps the highest art of the Christian faith. They couldn't be any more opposite, and yet they couldn't be any more reliant on each other. For without the law, you wouldn't know what the gospel is, and without the gospel, you wouldn't know what the law is. And we find then that basis for evangelism. As Jesus said, and as he commissioned his disciples in Luke 24, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations. As we sometimes show our catechism students, SOS. The law shows us our sin, leading us to repentance, and the gospel shows us our Savior, SOS, leading us to understand forgiveness. May that message live on with Pastor Kam, with our brothers and sisters in Asia, and throughout the world, and with us also. Amen.